All right. The first poet we're going to have tonight is Barry.
Barry Governor. Come on, Barry.
Appreciate that encouragement, because each week it gets more intimidating to come up here and bare your soul with it at such a lower level. But I'll give it a shot. The title is, From Our Deck I Listened to an Urban June Symphony. There are no sharps or flats, just the pure chords of early summer. The intermittent crystal ping of aluminum line drives, pop-ups, distant cheers of encouragement, bird song opposed by police and fire sirens, the ice cream man. These rhythms are punctuated by motors humming wheels on patched macadam, conditioners humming the comfort of cool cocoons, enticing all others to leave me as the lone critic. Hog and jalopy percussionists bawl for attention like chafed two-year-olds, but have nothing on sound system that vibrates the house with a rap. Oops, sorry. Split splash, the bird bath brings me back to tranquility, to laughter at the squabbles of who gets to bathe, who must wait to drink. When the bath rests, I look forward to scarlet cardinal flowers, the palate of butterfly weed. The choke cherry leaves play a soft breeze to a soothing rustle, then free it to caress the chimes, just enough to harmonize with nature. I listen to this score season after season. Note that each performance is a variation of itself, at times with a sprinkling of droning propellers, dog barks, the roar of a jet. But the music salves my soul, and I never tire of listening. The history of wheat. Somewhere in the heart, the muse sleeps, or not. The disturbance that wakes her can be a breadcrumb, an umbrella. Some eye the crumb of bread and see a crumb of bread. Others see wheat seeds, root hairs osmosing nutrients from black loam. Cotyledons that rise past green sprouts, past spring green sprouts to emerald fields of summer, then wave their autumn gold to harvesters. Harvesters whose calloused hands wear worn wood while dry stalks shine sweeping steel. Rhythmic arcs leave uniform stubble, returning loam to loam. This crumb is seed upon seed, milled from beige to white, fashioned to dough, kneaded and baked to bread. Some see a crumb of bread and miss the history of wheat.
We just have a really, we're lucky tonight. Lucille here, Seabird, she's going to be selling her book over there. So again, I know that if you're like me, I'm carrying like 10 bucks on me. It's kind of, but if you do have a couple extra bucks on you and you can afford to buy a book off of any of the poets tonight, please do. Chat book back there or exchange or do whatever. But come on up here, Lucille, you read, give yourself a couple poems up here, all right?
I hope you can all hear me. Okay. The Grenade. What? Closer? It's too high. Oh, there. Is that okay? The Grenade. Every Friday night, my dad went to the bar. So my mom took me and my brother to the movies, mostly to the Granada in Malden. I loved the Granada. Thick red carpet with gold swirlies, huge movie posters framed in gold. We bought candy, and almost always I had jujubes. In the dark theater, we followed the usher, his flashlight aimed at the carpet, and settled in our plush seats as previews of coming attractions came on the screen. I would put a jujube in my mouth and try to guess the flavor. My mom wasn't too picky about the movies we saw. She just wanted to get out of the house. We watched a lot of cowboys and Indians and aliens from outer space. Cowboys and Indians I could handle, but aliens creeped me out. If it got too bad, I'd leave my seat, sit in the ladies' lounge till the movie ended, reading Christian Science Monitor and Watchtower. Walking home from the bus, we spoke in low voices. Soon all three of us were home and fast asleep in our beds, long before my dad came home from the bar. House dream. We live in a narrow house on the center of the bridge that straddles the stream. My brother has an older friend who lives with us. My father does not know the boys have made a raft. In daytime, they store it under the house above the river. At night, they keep it in the upstairs hallway. It blocks the doorway to my room. I have not enough air to breathe. I take shallow breaths, afraid I will suffocate before morning. One night, I heard the boys' voices. They had slid raft into river, had stolen my father's shovel to paddle faster downstream, disappearing in darkness. My father, standing on the dock, silent in the shadow, moonlight dapples black water with ripples of eerie light. And one more short poem. Freight train. Sometimes I stand on the bridge when the freight train passes underneath and wonder where it's headed. If there were no 7-foot fence and I knew how to time it, I could jump and land on a flat car. I can feel the pull of the train under my feet. I'd love to just take off, skip town, and start all over again. From the bridge I can see her, a small replica of myself, and she waves to me as the train becomes smaller. Thank you.
And I want you to bring the book back next week, and I want you to come read some more, okay? If you'd be so kind. David, I won't get this last name out. David? Hey, David, come on up here.
You translate this. I can't read it.
Yeah, no,
it's bad handwriting. David
Adess. Is that your book?
It is my book. I'll be bringing copies of it later on. All the way from Australia. In 2003, when Australia was contemplating following America into the war against Iraq, the call went out to Australian poets to respond to that, and about 140 poets did, and the poems were given to the Prime Minister and ended up on the web. I think they're probably still there, Poets Against the War. This was my contribution. All the voices in the world, a babble of voices bays for the blood of silence. A blanket of voices covers the face of silence. A rope of voices binds the hands of silence. A plague of voices strips the ears of silence. A fire of voices scorches the heart of silence. A gluttony of voices devours the flesh of silence. A crush of voices tramples the bones of silence. In vain. Because, of course, we did go to war, and we're still involved. The winter in this, the physical winter in this poem is an Australian winter. The metaphorical winter could be anywhere. Winter. There is no Arctic in the winter here, no Siberia, no ice floes or frozen tundra. This is not a polar wintering, the wintering of Yevtushenko, where the snow will begin again, falling, falling. Blizzards smothering ice and earth are unknown in this place. Snow does not fall, covering fields, buildings, roads, heavying and bending outstretched branches, erasing footprints. Rivers and streams do not ice over, nor is the ground white iced and hard. Electric blue arcing from trams is not the only colour punctuating whiteness. You will not see fur pushed tight over head and ears. True, there are days when small white vapour clouds signify breath, when steam rises from piss or from wooden fences at dawn, days of darkness, of rain, and yes, there is the ritual scrutiny of the calendar, a moment's buoyancy at the passing of the winter solstice. But the shortened days still confer 9 hours of light and sometimes baby blue-eyed skies. It is not the winter of winter making people huddle, raising shivers on skin, but all those other winters, that winter of frosty glances, of closed faces where no embers glow in the grate and the freeze begins on the inside seeping out. The winter of conditional welcome tinged with suspicion. The winter of narrow minds shut tight against spring. That dangerous idea of a thaw, of new flowerings. It snows only in my imagination, swirling flakes where the snow falls and melts, and fire rises in the hearth.
Dan Shapiro.
This is my first time here, and I am definitely going to come back a lot. I've written a series of poems that are all sort of made up, but I have them in chronological order, but they're made up. This one is Richard M. Nixon attends Star Wars premiere, Brea Man Theater, May 25th, 1977. Hell-bent on seeing the latest space movie, he insists on standing in a line fraught with kids. Pat and he are the last to be let in before a velvet rope separates theater from tears. Nixon rekindles his love affair with the dark, which stalls in the headlock of John Williams' brash score. He watches backstory scroll across the screen. Words, he grumbles. No one reads more than I. Scenes ahead, he cringes. Christ, I finally make it to the movies, and some girl in a sheet is making tapes. Goddamn tapes on a robot. Deeming Skywalker a long-haired sissy, he waits for a positive, taking in exotic characters that remind him of trips overseas. Finally, he beams as Vader tenses up his fist to cut off a tertiary character's breath. He mumbles to Pat. Now that's something that could have come in handy. Seconds later, Vader releases his grip as an afterthought, a defiant wave. Okay, is there anybody here who likes Thomas Kincaid? The art, if we can call it that, of Thomas Kincaid. Okay, good enough to do this one then. This is actually a Pittsburgh poem. It takes place in Bethel Park. So Thomas Kincaid drops by Andy Warhol's grave, Bethel Park, Pennsylvania, February 22nd, 2007, which actually is the 20th anniversary of Andy Warhol's death, which I don't mention in here. Keep the car running, Kincaid tells his driver. He climbs the hill, reaches the marker, gropes for the soup can and paperweight in the TK monogrammed satchel. Chicken and stars, he hisses. That asshole was supposed to get tomato. No respect. With meticulously gloved hands, he places can and weight, radiating with the Thomas Kincaid Painter of Light logo atop the stone. You taught me about objects, he tells Frozen Ground before snapping a Polaroid, walking back down the hill. Soon he will return to the studio, clip the photo to canvas, make improvements, eager to excise above ground pool from background. Referring to Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, he will add the pale horse ridden by death, rein in the beast thanks to ferocious pastel illumination. God has instructed me how to make 15 minutes eternal, he will muse while dabbing on the final trademark.
Real good, man. Paul, come on up here.
For epigraph, poem, and the sonnet, 32 lines. Before I muddle through it, just like to thank for the opportunity of sharing the open mic with such engaging featured readers. Epigraph, Mr. Noodle and Pancake. My cat's majestic, has wings on his feet. Yours, well, provincial, but not quite snobbish. They mow around because that's how cats roll. If there's a tale, life was good when fur flew. Three-part interaction here. Avoid such commerce, but I can't read the title, so it's subtitle, Walk Around Oxygen. Her nose was full of nickels. We bumped at an arcade fire. Truth is the epiphany. Wow, a third person plural. Two, victim of mindless print, dent for hubcap. An unknown, we are a superb margin. If you are jettisoned, it won't last. Sig Heil, what ex rue, Miss Arrhenius. I've become an asocial monism and no longer subjugate randomly. Undivided voices of attrition exude panache, resurrecting formless to uphold the patois in Arabic. Sonnet. It's called Detino Palgrave, which I think Palgrave is International Publishing Conglomerate. Subtitled Post-op Alienation. And the SS Poet was actually a murder vessel, or B-O-A-T, boat, that sank in 1985. Goodwill mission to the Suez Canal, I believe, and the hidden cargo, my guess is personal lubricant. That's a little pepper. For RuPaul Muff and kissing the treatment. SS Poet, cremate memorial. A scripture to fret, or ozone potluck, God paraphrased our first Gettysburg backward, so we could fuck and watch TV. Those are banjos. You can paddle faster. Redundant genome, phone, bedside anchor. No direct x-ray will add giving salt. It could read, I've become these or pointless. On the hook, it's serious following, not in bolt of autonomy, Footnote, half your age, who bit their pillow? As an origin of thought, debate lies. The reason to love harps at what is not.
Thank you, Paul. Jared.
Go for it, man.
Thanks, Paul. All right, so I have two poems. I'll be quick. I'm going to decide which one I want to read first. All right. I can make a bad day feel good. I can have Evan City seem like the hood. This ain't good mood food. This here's fine dining, spine aligning, chiropractic, the way I get didactic with my dialectic. My bad, too fast, my mind spins hectic, cause everything around me's so fucking electric. Let me connect it, how we elect tricks that lead us into getting pimped, played, bitched. Running with a 5-0, now my third eye needs stitched. Thought we were all humans, to which side have they switched? Can y'all hit what I pitched? That soft toss, kickball rolls, but we're striking out, distracted, cause the TikTok rolls. Everything around me, team. Time is money. Getting something out of nothing must be the American dream. All of which fade in vain. Chasing paper while you should have been planting trees, dancing rain. But we chose to be wrapped in plastic, sit back, boombastic, the organic, we masked it. Don't even realize how our body's an instrument. Wow. Now I suggest we act quick to calm the spastic and take care of what's drastic, till it's trains, showers, death, piles of ash, no funeral, no eulogy, no casket. It's sorry, it's sad, so take the mad and be happy. Smile, fight back, we win, karma's elastic. I'll remain insane, most deaf, ecstatic. Right, cool, that's my first one. Thanks. All right, here's number two. Most of my life goes undocumented. The rest goes on. Unheard and unread, as I try hard to not try to take back what I said, what it is I read, unremembered, what it was that I said, what makes you alive, what makes me undead. I argue for breaths, forget those thoughts in one's head, the I think therefore I am, I think you are not, something you thought you said but was somehow forgot. Forget me not, my only plea to thou, to thee, we ought to be or to be, we ought not. Or like, whatever. Have we found what was sought, or are we sitting, waiting, waiting, waiting for it to be brought? What the fuck are you saying? Yeah, I get that a lot. Then I smile, laugh, shake it off, tip it back in a shot. Silence. See, we sit here and rot while the globalists plot. I move miraculously through moments, mesh, not caught. The fucking feds said burn it down, so back at 'em, caress shot. Y'all get it. Live, colored pictures, don't need me to connect the dot, on I, of I, om I, love I, above high, poem why, cause life today, love is a battlefield on which I have fought, a kiss for my enemies and middle fingers to the allies, our breath, your blood, becomes the ink that I blot, so perceive me however, call me whatever, I'll flow on forever, knowing I am not. Thanks.
Next poet, Bob Ziller, who's going to read a poem here or whatever. And you got, he's also an artist, publisher.
I'm going to read one poem of a book I translated by John Joseph Ribeiro-Velo, a surrealist poet from Madagascar. This is from translated from The Night. The hide of the black cow has been stretched, stretch without being set to dry, stretch within its sevenfold shadow. But who has felled the black cow, dead without having lowed, dead without having roared, dead without having been pursued over this prairie flowered with stars? Here is the one who lodges in half of the sky, stretches the hide over a box resonant with winds sculpted by the spirits of sleep. And the drum is ready when gladioli crown the horns of the delivered calf who bounds and grazes the hills of grass. There it will resound, and its incantations will become dreams until the moment when the black cow is resurrected, white and pink, before a river of light. This seems appropriate for some of the poems that have been read tonight. It's a castle in the air. Ah, Don Quixote, Don Quixote de la Mancha. The windmills are nuclear reactors, your absurd lance a guided missile. Everyone hallucinates your heroics. Come, Don Quixote, chaste servant of Dulcinea del Toboso, ride noble Rocinante through our cities. Let him step proudly over streams of piss on the sidewalks. Let his wandering eyes gaze for miles without a trace of green. Bring Sancho Panza, your faithful squire. His half-believing wits serve you well, Don Quixote, lover of poetry. Most famous knight-errant, were you on the bloodied fields of Iraq and Iran? Did your strong arm slay a million sheep? Was it you who bore the olive branch? Were you the one who commanded peace, O knight of the sad countenance? Thank you. Thank you. Let's see. This was one that was published in a book that Michael Worster edited, Along These Rivers, a few years back. And before I read this, I'd also like to say that I'm co-owner of Awesome Books in Garfield, and this Friday at 7 o'clock, we're having a book release party for Lucille. Her book, could you hold up your book, Lucille? It's The Unattended Kitchen Sink. So please drop by. It's 7 o'clock this Friday. We're right on Penn Avenue, 5111 Penn Avenue, and the event is free, so there's no excuse for you not to come by. And there will be food and wine. There'll be free liquor.
Awesome. What's the address again?
5111 Penn Avenue, right next to Spack Brothers Pizza. This is a Carson Street epiphany. There's something beautiful about this old woman waiting for the bus. She's wearing a brightly colored floral dress. She's even got flowers on her blue canvas shoes. She's at least 70 years old. She's in full bloom on the cement sidewalk. Her legs are like stems. Her flowered dress moves in the breeze. She is the essence of cool with her sunglasses and gray hair. She's grinning as the bus arrives. She just knows that someone is writing a poem about her. She gets on the bus, and death is the driver, and death just has to grin and admire that dress. She smiles back. They nod to each other. She takes a seat with the other souls. The light turns green. The bus pulls away, and she's gone, gone, gone. Thanks very much.
We arranged the poems alphabetically by a poet in that anthology, and Bob was kind enough to have his name begin with a Z. So that was just the perfect poem to end the anthology.
Man, it's my buddy too. Hey, anybody we miss? Okay, you know, I don't know if any of you have ever been with a whore or not. But I always like my whores to wear lipstick. Okay. And it's, all right, nothing. A long time ago, there was a killer in California. He was a Zodiac killer. And from that, they made a movie, Scorpio, and the Dirty Harry movie. He was the killer, Scorpio. So, Demento sent this letter. This is right here in Pittsburgh. It's called The City Held Hostages. What do you make of all this? Don't know, but I can tell you this. It's someone that is sick and means business. Well, what do we do? He got the city paralyzed with fear. He's holding us hostage. I say, pay the ransom. Inspector says, we never negotiate with terrorists, and we're not going to start now. Mayor says, he's got to be stopped, but the question is how. We either pay him or he lops another parking meter's head. I have an election coming and I can't lose another vote. Either we pay him what he wants or he's going to take a hacksaw and cut off 10 more parking meter's heads. Kiss-ass mayor's assistant says, I say pay him what he wants. The mayor says, what does he want? Inspector says, he wants free parking at the Paul Park during the Pirate games. He wants free parking for the Steeler tailgaters. And he wants all the meters down around the console arena. He also wants you to fire 10 meter maids this month and 10 more during the Christmas season. He wants a bag of quarters left under Macy's clock, and he wants you to deliver the bag, Mayor. He says for you to bring red lipstick. The mayor says, I can deliver a bag of quarters, but why the red lipstick? Inspector says, I think he wants you to kiss him on the sunny side of his blubber. Mayor said, what? He wants you to kiss his ass. The mayor asks, can I send my stooge instead? The stooge says, what? The inspector says, I don't know, Mayor. It's pretty risky. He says that he wants you and the red lipstick, no imposters, fresh red lipstick, and for you to wear high heels. Actually, 6-inch spikes, no tricks, a bag of quarters, and no tokens under Macy's clock at noon, or he's going to lop off 10 more parking meters head by tomorrow. Sign Demento. Kiss-ass Steve says, maybe you can wear pumps. The mayor says, shut up. The inspector asks, he's got us handcuffed. What can we do? The mayor says, get the bag of quarters. From working with the council, I already got the lipstick and the spikes. So I think it'd be kind of neat if we just start lopping the heads off, and throwing them under Caligiuri's feet, that statue. All right, listen, next week again we have Michael Worcester, Michael Sims, or great stuff, good stuff, fun stuff, and we have Renee Roberts. And that's it, guys, and thank all of you, and buy the books. Here we go, books for sale here, books for sale here, books for sale here. And if not tonight, bring some money next week and have some fun with it. Thanks, guys. And books for sale back there.